Now may I gather us together around the reading of God's Word. Today it's in two places, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, and Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I commanded you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your household, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your thought for the day is this: the proper drive of our households is bringing our children up in the Lord. The proper drive of our households is bringing our children up in the Lord. What I'm addressing today is specifically to parents with children who have had children. But by God's grace, if you perhaps are there and you have not had children, that I do not want to excuse you in this. But we all have an obligation to live our lives before the children that God gives to us in the fellowship that we call His church. Because that obligation is ours to live before them that life of godliness as we addressed here in this sacrament that we have just witnessed. Because it is within that sacrament that we are reminded of how precious those children are. We are reminded of the faithfulness that is to be handed down from generation to generation. We are reminded about how our children look to us for guidance and how our children need us to help them along this road that we call the Christian life. And so as you hear these words this day, I ask you to prayerfully seek God's strength in how you can minister in the lives of the children, not only here at Union, but in whoever's life that you may have influence. So children are to listen to the words. That's what we've just read here. Obedience of the children adds to that unity of the family, because a children's obedience is to come out of the love that they have for their parents, not out of fear. You know, we can be obedient out of fear, but to be obedient out of fear gives that child that opportunity to say, I'll be glad when I get out of here, or I'll be glad when I don't have to listen to these words again. But when a child is obedient out of love, it speaks of that unity of the family. It speaks of how a parent relates to that child and how that child relates back in love to that parent. But it also represents that very special relationship that all of God's children have between Himself and those children. Because as we look back upon that parental household, we see is a reflection of the relationship that God has with His church. So that word there, to be obedient, means to listen to with the intent of, or obey rather, means to listen to with the intent of obedience. And it's the same word that is referred to in that Deuteronomy 6 passage that I just read to you, that is referred to by theologians as the Shema, or the Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it is the right thing, as Ephesians reminds us. Right is it is the proper thing to do. It pleases the Lord that children listen in obedience. As Israel was, that first church was called to hear with that Shema and be obedient to the word of the Lord. Our children then reflect the calling that God has upon His people. In that family unit, those parents represent, especially the father, represent the nature and the role of God. And then those parents are to relate to those children as God relates to us as His children. They relate to them with teaching, with encouragement, with love, with discipline when needed, and as God relates to us as His church to build us up, it is the purpose of those parents to build up that child, to give them all that they need in order for that child to step out into the world with God on their side and especially in their heart. So that word that comes from the parent there is a word that builds up. That word instructs. That word conveys love. That word conveys the things of God. And it says too that it is right. It is proper. It is the proper thing to do because it pleases the Lord. The words are to be used wisely also. It says, honor your father and mother. That honor is we attribute a high status worthy of being listened to, worthy to have those words come into our heart. And that promise was a long time, a long life, and a long time in the land. The purpose of God for the conveying of His truths from parent to child was that faith would be passed from generation to generation. The knowledge of God would be passed from generation to generation. As we've said many times in here before, if you want a good society, it starts with a good home. A good home starts with that relationship, that basic relationship between the children and their parents. As we teach that child about the things of God, as we teach that child how to love and to serve and to live all in accordance with biblical principles that we lay before them, not only through our words, but also through with our actions. We continue to live out before our children that right way of living, that honorable way of living, where we honor God in the things that we say and do, because our children look to us for that guidance. Our children look to us to learn how to navigate life. And so we need to be very careful about how we live our lives before them. The things that we say, the things that we do, all of those instruct our children, even when we think they are not looking. And so this gives order to the household when parents and children are together in love, and the parents give to their children loving instruction and loving words of encouragement, and the children are obedient back to those parents through that love bond that has been established there. So these children coming out of those homes where God's word is spoken often and freely have that good biblical foundation that God would have His children in order for them to begin to nourish and nurture that life of faith that He wants passed down. But again, that emphasis on honoring, that word honor has a lot of responsibility there to that parent. If a child is encouraged to honor that father and the mother, then that relationship of honor means that that child is to listen and to hear and to respond in love. But we are not to misuse that, because there is an indication here that it can be misused, because it says fathers don't provoke your children. Well, parents, not just fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Because parents, if we're not careful, we can sometimes make unreasonable demands upon a child. You may have said it, or you may have heard somebody say, why can't you be more like your brother? Why can't you be more like your sister? Why can't you be like so and so? Or, you know, I'm not going to accept anything less than an A on this because I know you can do it. Or if you're out there on the ball field somewhere, or, you know, you some guys, not nobody in particular, but some guys like to relive all of their athletic failures through their children. And because that particular person may have sat on the bench, now they want their son or daughter to go out there and be an all-star, because you can say, that's my kid out there, number 5. Look at him, look at her. And it gives a sense of pride. But we've then put all of that expectation and all that pressure upon that child that they have to not only sustain and uphold their own abilities, but also carry the dreams of their dad or mom with them. And that is an unfair thing to place upon a child. And so we have to be careful how we use that emphasis of honor and that place of honor in the life of our child. Right discipline is handed out in love. It is not handed out in anger. Anger and discipline gives the impression to that child, well, if I'm bigger than you or stronger than you, then I rule the roost. And that is not how we want our children launched out into the world. And so we as parents have to be very careful about how we approach a child in discipline, that that child understands the purpose of that discipline, the nature of that discipline, that that child does not see a raging parent coming at them. I've told you that story that I had where I threw a ball. I'll shorten it up for a lot of you who heard it before. I threw a ball accidentally, of course, through the window. My father happened to be sitting on the other side of that window, and glass and ball and everything just fell right in his lap. I saw him get up, and I knew what was about to happen, so I took off the other way to find a switch with which I met him on the front porch. He thought I was running away from him, so his step quickened and my step quickened to get it over with, and so we met together on the front porch. And I stood before him and I handed him the switch just like this. And he took the switch and he offered me grace and he offered me mercy because he saw in my heart that I'd already been punished. And so he took the switch and he said, I'm not going to switch you this time. And that was the end of it. But I had surrendered because I knew I had done wrong. So parents and children, it doesn't always work that way. The pressures of life, the stress of life, the stuff that life throws at us as parents, and the just all of the other stuff that we try to put upon ourselves to accomplish everything and do everything. And we're not always the most graceful people when we come toward our children, especially when they've messed up or they've made us angry or they've disappointed us in some way. So that comes through prayer of our own. That comes through having a good, solid relationship with the Lord, that we can take a moment and step back before we approach that child with the rage that might be within our hearts. Because that child then, when that old expression of sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, words can hurt you. And words can hurt you more than sticks and stones. And we all know that is true. I've had my share of switches. One or two of them stand out. But I've also had my share of words. And I can guarantee you that all of them stand out. And so it's not just the physical punishment, what we call the corporal punishment. But it's also the words that we tell our children. They can either build them up or they can tear them down. And so all of us as parents need to be aware of the power that words have in the lives of our children. The power that God's name has in the life of our children. And we get that from that Deuteronomy passage where it says that God's word should be everywhere. There are a lot of households where the word God, the name God, only gets mentioned after we've hit our finger with a hammer. And that it should not be. If we're going to raise our children with God in their hearts, then God's name should be spoken freely and often within that household. And it should be before them, just like that Deuteronomy passage says, hang them everywhere. Put them on your doorposts so that you can see them going in and going out. And if you want to do that literally by Bible verses in your home, that's fine. But the purpose of that verse is to remind us that the name of God and the life of God is to be lived out in front of our children. And that is the obligation of the parent, to live that life of faith out in front of our children. As you've seen, these two parents today who brought their two youngest children to be baptized, that is speaking into the heart of that family that we see this as important, that we see this as the need to offer our children to the Lord and give them over to the discipline and love and encouragement of the church and join them together with the body of Christ. That is a big deal to us. And we've come and we've done that this day. And to all of you who have answered yes, don't answer frivolously. Surround this family. Surround other families within this church that have young kids, that have teenagers, all of you who have either led children through those years or have gone through those years yourself know how difficult they can be, not only on the family, but also on the child. And so we as a church can come together and love them and offer ourselves to them by the teaching of Sunday school, by the working together with young people, by being a presence in the life of that young person. As I've said many times here before, you don't have to be a theologian. Just have a relationship with a young person. Offer them the words of Christ. Share with them the times in your life that Christ made an impact on you, and how you have received Him and the love that you have for Christ. Tell them the stories of Scripture that you have heard from your childhood and from your Sunday school experiences, and let them know what those stories mean, because they have meaning for us. We shared in Sunday school this morning the story of Israel. That's not the story of Israel. We beat up the Israelites so often in our pulpits and in our Sunday school times, where we say, those foolish people, how could they not see this? The story of Israel is the story of us. It's the journey of a people with their God, to be joined together with Him in faith and in hope that He is going to be their persistent and consistent God. And so the story of Israel is the story of us. And we need to see it in that manner. And so the story of this family that came before us today is the story of the rest of us who are saying, here are my children, Lord. I offer them to You for Your guidance, for Your hope, for Your call, that we will work together to bring these children up and Your children and continue to minister in their lives. No matter if they're toddlers or teens, to continue to minister in their lives and live before them the life of Christ. To continue to encourage them, not only the children, but the parents. To continue to offer those words of hope and love. To just wrap your arms around all the families within this church. As we said last week, on Mother's Day, people should be lined up to work in our children's ministry. Because it's that big of a deal. When we come together as God's people around our children, we're doing a good thing, because we're passing faith and hope and inspiration on to that next generation who will one day be the leaders. I say this sometimes as a joke. You be careful how you treat your children, because one day they'll be feeding you grits. But we also have, it's not a joke, take care of your children and feed them the Lord, because that's going to be the next generation of pastors and Sunday school teachers. That's going to be the next generation of our country's leaders, our community leaders, our school teachers, all of those who will work on your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. It was the desire of the Lord for faith to be passed down from generation to generation. It's not perfect. What we did today does not guarantee that Reeves or Kobe will come to faith, as we said. But it's offered in hope that as these children hear the nurture and the knowledge of the Lord, that they will be called by Him in their appropriate times, and they will come to Him with that knowledge and with that encouragement, and that they will remember the lessons that we live out before them. The lessons that they've learned right here in this church and in their homes and in the homes of their grandparents and other loved ones. And that is the job of all of us, to wrap our arms around each other, whether a family still has children or whether they're grown and have grandchildren, or whether no children was ever graced within that home, is to wrap our arms around each of us and to encourage us and to be willing and able and available to walk with each other in times of need. But we have to think that way. We have to keep that in front of us if we're going to be that kind of a church. We have to remember those that may be without, may be weaker in whatever place life has put them. And so we need to keep the church and others in mind and not let life be so big that we lose sight of what we're supposed to be, the fellowship of believers, the body of Christ. So pray hard for these families. Pray hard for all within this church who are in need now. And let the love of Christ and the desire to have that love of Christ in the hearts of our children be what drives your household. Whether you are filled with children or whether you are childless, let that love of Christ be what drives your household. Let me pray for us. Father, we come before you this day thanking you for all that we have experienced this day, thanking you for the grace that is ours in Christ. Father, we come before you now asking that you will work mightily within us this day as we have this sacrament before us to remind us of the cleansing that is offered to us through faith in Christ. May each one of us latch on to that promise. Those who have received, make us stronger in it. Those who have yet to receive, Father, continue to call, yield their hearts to your will, that they will come and join together with you, be joined with you, that we might be one body, one love, surrounded by your grace and enabled and empowered by your strength. Father, I just pray that each of us now will take to heart that time when we have come to you, those that now join, that are joined together in your family. Make us stronger. Unite us through Christ. And that is our prayer in his name. Amen.